Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Been gone for a week because of Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day to everyone, particularly to family members of those who have lost their lives in the service of this country. Thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you to all the veterans that continue to sacrifice for your country today. There's so much news that's been going on in the last week. We have Roseanne Barr, whose show was canceled due to a racist tweet. We have more information about how we are separating families at the border. Families not even of illegal immigrants, but those that are seeking asylum, something you'd think this country would stand up for. We have more... we'll continue to talk more about the NFL decision to keep black athletes from protesting racism. And I got to say, as someone who just successfully came back last night, because I got to have some good news at the end, most of you know I'm a Virginia State delegate, and last night we successfully, we meaning the Virginia General Assembly, Senate, and House, successfully approved Medicaid expansion for Virginia. Bringing affordable care to 400,000 Virginians who didn't otherwise have it, bringing billions in aid to our Virginia budget, to our economy, raising teachers, raises 3%, public safety officers raises, got a raise of 2%, lots of money in the Virginia budget for rainy day. I just got to brag a little bit. It's a big deal. We've been trying to do this for several years, but even that will be part of my story. Oh, and yeah, and Giuliani telling the truth. In interviews, he's going to have to be fired soon because truth is not something that's very well appreciated by the Trump set. But yes, admitting that Trump was lying on purpose in order to persuade the American people not to trust the Mueller investigation. Yeah, it's true. I'm just a little surprised that you said it. So a variety of topics today, but to me, they all fall under one rubric. What is Trumpism? What is Trumpism? What is the philosophy of Donald Trump and the people who support Donald Trump? Now, I'm giving some Republicans an out because even though most Republicans do support Trump to this day, a clear number do not. And I do not mean to tar all Republicans with this brush. But given that a majority of them support Trump, you know, some of this is Republicanism. But for now, I want to say, what is Trumpism? And I have a provocative answer for you. Because although Trumpism is partly certainly corruption and narcissism and immaturity and having no idea about anything regards to actual policy, most of that belongs simply to Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump is corrupt. Donald Trump is trying to steal as much as he can for his own family. Donald Trump's cabinet members are trying to corruptly get as much from taxpayers as they can and stick it in their pockets in the form of, you know, first class service and form of, you know, expensive noise preventing booths for Scott Pruitt or protection or corruption. Yeah, is endemic in the Trump administration. And obviously so is narcissism. We are talking about Donald Trump. But when it comes to Trumpism, when it comes to Trump supporters, you have to ask what it is that they're so gung-ho about. What makes Trumpists move? What makes them happy? What makes them agitated? What moves them? What excites them? What emotions can you tug at to make a Trumpist really, really support Donald Trump? When Donald Trump comes to my birth city of Nashville, Tennessee, in some ways I still consider it my hometown. My whole family lives there. It's a wonderful, wonderful city. In Tennessee, and it is a liberal city. So I'm going to assume that most of the people that came to that rally were from outside the city, although Nashville has its share of right-wingers. But when the people cheer him in Nashville, what are they cheering? What is it that they believe Trump is fighting for? Old Republican notions like big debt, we know they're not cheering for that. Republicans never cared about big debt. That was always just a ruse that, you know, maybe a few small Republicans, a few, you know, very wonky Republicans cared about. The vast majority don't. The way you know that, of course, is the massive Trump tax corporate giveaway of $2 trillion, likely to be closer to three, to very, very large corporations, many of which, by the way, a third of the shareholders of these large corporations live overseas. So it is literally a tax cut to foreigners. So we know that that isn't the thing that really motivates them. It's not the debt. They don't give a damn about the debt. Some would say it's trade issues. Maybe that motivated a few people to vote for Donald Trump. I don't think those people are still with him, particularly when you see that Trump is actually promoting a Chinese company, ZTE, at the expense of American companies. Actually tweeting about the loss of Chinese jobs for a company that would otherwise be sanctioned for violating our export controls, right? God forbid a woman escaping oppression in El Salvador, escaping murder of her child and herself, manages to scraggle across the border after going through the desert and paying people to help her through, and then presents herself openly seeking asylum to escape persecution. She's a terrible human being. But some Chinese company that's, otherwise going to be sanctioned for helping our enemies, let it go. So I don't think it's trade policy. What is it that motivates Trumpism and Trumpists? Honestly, and I'm really serious here, and people are going to accuse me of being mean, but I can't think of anything that truly motivates the Trump base other than racism and misogyny. Hatred of people of different races, ethnicities, the non-white, shall we say, maybe the non-Christian, some anti-Semitism, maybe some homophobia thrown in, but in general, hatred. And of course, misogyny, hatred of women. That's mostly for the males in the Trump Party, though, listen, there are women that are not too keen on other women. Honestly, that to me has got to be the prime motivation. And I remember when Hillary Clinton said that half his supporters were deplorable. And by deplorable, she defined it as those who are anti-Muslim, anti-Jewish, who are racist, who are homophobic, who are misogynist. And she was, oh my God, that was the worst thing she could possibly say. How dare she say that these people were racist? But I ask you, what motivates the Trump supporter? I mean, I look at Roseanne Barr, and weirdly enough, I, before a couple days ago, had some affection for Roseanne Barr. Frankly, I thought her show was pretty good. I thought it dealt with some tough topics. But hyped up on Ambien, and yes, Roseanne has apparently multiple personality disorder. She's got some issues. But she tweeted out a disgusting racist tweet. And obviously Ambien doesn't make you racist, so this is something that's going on in her psyche. But I think that Trump and Trumpism allows these emotions to come to the surface. Not that there hasn't always been racism, not that racism hasn't always been there, not that there aren't a heck of a lot of Americans and frankly people worldwide who are racist. It is endemic to, unfortunately, to humanity. But the idea that she could freely, even in her adult state, feel free to tweet about something is because of Trumpism. To me, it's kind of like the cockroaches that live under a rock. You know, in the sunny day, you don't know that they're even there. And they, yeah, they're there, like racism is always there. But then you lift the rock, and that to me is what Trump is doing, and they roam around in the sun. And suddenly all that racism is there for us to see. The same is true with misogyny. Right? I hadn't really focused on the incels before. You know what an incel is, of course. Incel is the term that some horrible women haters use. It means involuntarily celibate. In other words, somehow it is women's fault that these guys can't get laid. And they're so angry about the fact that they can't get laid that they hate women and they go on rampages and sometimes they kill. Rather than, I don't know, being nice to a woman, and you might get a date, guys, or take a shower or something, you know, try to stay in shape, try to look nice, and you might just get yourself a woman. I mean, I don't really know. I'm gay, but I assume that's how it works, straight guys. No, it's not true. I've dated women in my day. But look, this blaming, right, this blame culture, it's feel sorry for me, I'm a straight white man. Feel sorry for me, I'm a Christian. Feel sorry for me, I have white privilege. Feel sorry for me, I'm in the majority. And you know what? I don't. I understand white privilege. I happen to share it to a most extent. I mean, I'm Jewish, so, and I'm gay, so I don't quite fit the perfect stereotype. But I know it's a lot harder in America to be black than white. That's just a fact. Anyone that disputes that fact has not really studied the world around them. But what's fascinating to me is how much racism pervades Trumpism. And I think we have to start, of course, with Donald Trump. I mean, this is a man with a history. He's the oldest president we've ever had, which, by the way, they almost never discuss. And he goes back a long way from the time his father refused to let blacks, Latinos, rent his apartments. Remember, his dad made all the money, right? Not Donald. His dad gave him the money, and then Donald, frankly, went bankrupt. I forget how many times. Was it six times? But his dad was investigated by the Justice Department, and then Trump was, way back in the 70s, for refusing to rent properties to black people. And then go to the 80s, you have the Central Park jogger rape, where five or six young black men were falsely accused. And before even a trial occurs, Donald Trump is basically asking for a lynch mob. He's calling them guilty in the paper. He's getting ads in New York Times, full page ads, attacking these young black men who, it turns out, by the way, were innocent all along. This is before he becomes famous in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, fast forward to the present. I mean, the only thing Donald Trump has a problem with regard to the national anthem is when black people are protesting police violence. And, oh, by the way, it's the same Donald Trump who was encouraging police officers to take suspects and bang their head on the car door. And I haven't even gotten immigration yet. There's all kinds of racism here. This is the man who got his start. Remember, he was a joke. I still think he's a joke, but he was an absolute joke candidate. And he gave this rambling speech for an hour that no one really noticed after he descended the escalator in absurd fashion. But one line from that opening speech is the only thing anyone remembers. And what's that line? Mexico is sending its rapists to America. That Mexicans are rapists, they're drug dealers, they're thieves. And some, I assume, he assumes,
when Mexico
are nice
sends
people.
Its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
So there you go. They're not sending you. Already, you versus them, right? We're good people. We're pure. We don't commit crimes when actually American citizens commit crimes at a far greater rate than immigrants, even undocumented immigrants. But Mexicans are rapists, they're drug dealers, they're bad people. Maybe that's why we're separating people at the border. Is there anything to Trumpism other than racism and misogyny? Because every other issue, Donald Trump seems to flip-flop on. Okay, I'll give you homophobia and anti-Semitism among some Trump elements as well. But other than hatred, what is there in Trumpism? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Lots to talk about, but at rock bottom, is there anything other to Trumpism other than racism? Now, I there's racism in lots of forms. There's homophobia, there's Islamophobia, there's anti-Semitism, there's hatred of immigrants, particularly those immigrants that are brown-skinned, because I don't think Trump hates Norwegian immigrants very much. Certainly misogyny. There's a lot of women bashing. But other than hatred of someone who's different, trans bashing, we know in the military, what else is it to Trumpism? What is it there's consistency? I can't find any. I mean, not on the debt, not on spending, not on infrastructure, not on anything except racism. We've got Michael from the Bronx, Old Faithful on line four. How are you, Michael?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
If I may be of assistance to you on this little
Please.
Bit of a challenge question, what's going on is, and I'm glad you brought up about Mr. 45, Mr. Trump's rhetoric, even going as far back as the campaign, because he's the one, as you said, has divided whites and blacks and instituted this racial hate, but also incited violence, saying, get them out of there, get them out of there,
right.
Beat the bleep out of them.
That's right.
And then tells his followers and his supporters, don't worry, I would take care of all your legal woes. He's even encouraging them to commit these criminal atrocities. And some of them have. As you well know, there are some of his supporters that have assaulted people of color. He got more of his supporters getting armed with guns with his encouragement of the Second Amendment. He's trash-talking the NFL,
I'll tell you, Mike, it's the one consistency I see from him. On every other issue, he just flip-flops. He changes his mind. He speaks out of both sides of his mouth. But even when you have a hero, I look at this young man in Nashville who saved the lives up with his bare hands, wrestled a gun out of the killer's hands in a Waffle House in Nashville, Tennessee. This brave hero who happens to be black, I didn't hear a word from Donald Trump. Now, I have no doubt that if it were a white hero and a black killer, he'd be all over it because we've seen him. The way he talks about Chicago, which is code word for blacks are armed and dangerous. I mean, the one thing I find that's consistent about this president is racism and misogyny. Anyway, last word. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, but one other thing is that he has set a precedence for these followers to keep doing what they're doing and thinking that they will get away with it, which any other person would not.
Well, you're right. You're right. And that's why people are, I think, racism, which is underneath the surface, like those cockroaches, is coming to the surface because Trump has given them the out for it. This is Mark Levine, 888-488-MARK, right back after this.
Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Is Donald Trump a racist? Well, duh. It's actually not even an obscure question today. In fact, the majority of American people in a poll believe that Donald Trump is racist. Not surprising that the majority believe that. Maybe a little surprising that almost 80% of Republicans think he isn't even biased against black people. Not sure where those Republicans are living, what tent they're in. But we can look at the fact that he said that there were very fine people on both sides in Charlottesville. Remember the Nazi rally? Or the fact that he made his claim in America by lying about Barack Obama and claiming he wasn't born in this country but was somehow born in Africa, as if suggesting somehow that Obama was illegitimate. You know, I don't remember him saying that about Bill Clinton. He wasn't born in Arkansas. There's his pardon. Don't forget his pardon of Joe Arpaio, who is one of the few people in America that actually was about to be put in jail for his racist acts. He was going to be put in jail because of court finding that he had actively promoted racism among Latinos in Arizona, had actively not just promoted racism, but brutally treated his Latino prisoners far worse than his white prisoners. This man is about to go to jail for racism, and he's one of Trump's few pardons. Not to mention describing African nations as, well, I can't say the word on air, but it begins with S and it ends with T and it's four letters and ends with whole. S-hole countries. Oh, and the fact that the NFL players, the ones specifically protesting police brutality against black people, shouldn't even be in America. Now, he calls immigrants animals. I don't mean to say he's just anti-black. He certainly hates immigrants, or at least immigrants of a certain color. He's made clear that he wants more immigrants from Norway. He says that people that these immigrants are breeding. When you say someone's breeding, well, people don't breed. Animals breed. Now, I guess animals is a step up from vermin. That's what Nazis called their Jewish citizens. But calling immigrants animals, it is dehumanizing, shall we say. And even if he's only talking about the MS-13, let's be clear that less than 1% of all gang members in the United States are the MS-13. Most gang members, I'm sorry, are born here. They're American citizens. So my real question is not, is Donald Trump a racist? Anyone with a brain and an ounce of logic can see that Donald Trump is a racist. My real question is a much more difficult, profound, serious, and scary one. Is Trumpism racism? Because this isn't about one truly awful, ridiculous, and probably not quite sane human being. This is about his supporters. Where do they come from? Is there anything other to Trumpism than racism? Is Trump normalizing racism? Is he making it easier for other people to be racist? Is his administration, and not just him, helping to promote racism? Well, I think one of the things we have to do is listen to his chief of staff, John Kelly. John Kelly was asked on NPR, National Public Radio, about people seeking asylum in the United States. These aren't people, even, who have snuck across the border to try to achieve a better life for themselves and their kids. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking people who are legally allowed under U.S. law, indeed, under international conventions that have existed since the time of the Holocaust, when America and virtually every country on earth, actually every country except one, turned away Jews escaping for their lives. Since that time, we in our U.S. law allow asylum. We allow people to come to this country and say, I am being persecuted because of my religion. I'm going to be killed because I'm gay. I'm going to be shot because I disagree with the president. And they can seek asylum here. And we've been doing that since the Puritans came in 1620. And what we're doing with those people who are legally seeking asylum in America, we are separating parents from children. I want you to think about that, particularly if you're a parent. Think about having your children forcibly removed from you, and then we've now lost 1,500 of them that we can't even find. Think of the level of cruelty when all you're doing is escaping persecution in your home country. You've probably heard by now what John Kelly, Donald Trump's chief of staff, had to say about this new child separation policy. I'll play it for you.
Family separation stands as a pretty tough deterrent.
Could be a tough deterrent. A much faster turnaround on asylum seekers.
Even though people say that's cruel and heartless to take a mother away from her children.
Yeah, I think cruel and heartless, I wouldn't put it quite that way. The children will be taken care of.
Yeah.
They'll put into foster care, whatever.
So much to unpack there. First of all, it's asylum seekers, not people who have crossed the border illegally. And it is... He says, they'll be taken care of. They'll be put in foster care, whatever. Whatever. They might just be lost. Whatever shows the lack of his care and concern for innocent children who've done nothing wrong except escape persecution in their home country and be brought to this country by parents seeking to save their lives. And they'll be put in foster care, whatever. We don't care. They are disposable. They are brown kids. On the line, I have a longtime listener who happens to be a teacher in a middle school in Texas. Betsy on line 5, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for calling in.
It's been ages.
It has been. Talk to me. What's going on in Texas?
I wanted to call and tell you that the last school year, last school year and a half, we in my school have seen a huge increase, not just in racism and racial comments, which have always existed in middle school, but even more important, white supremacy.
Mm.
And I think it goes beyond racism.
Well, this is part of my claim that Trump is normalizing this, allowing it to
racism
come.
Racism is one thing, but it's the white supremacy that leads to the actions
violence,
as opposed to the words.
So tell me, what have you seen? How has white supremacy manifested itself in a Texas middle school?
White kids telling immigrant and refugee children that Trump's going to send them home. Kids walking up to Arabic speakers and pretending to have a suicide vest. Instead of greeting kids by their names, greeting them with Allahu Akbar.
And this did not occur. I mean, you've been teaching a long time. This didn't occur in 2016, 2015 under Obama. You didn't see stuff like this very often.
We would see beginnings of this, but you could curb it, and it didn't come back.
And now when you correct these children or discipline these kids, it comes back.
It's the same the next day. And they're actually invoking Trump's name.
Can you talk to their parents,
Trump,
or are their parents the source of this?
That's where it comes from.
So what do you do as a teacher? I mean, how do you deal with the fact when their parents are telling them it's okay to be racist?
We try and do a lot of cultural awareness things, and we try and do things where we appreciate each other's cultures and where nobody's is valued more than anyone else's, especially in sixth grade where they're studying culture.
Now, aren't you in Austin, as I recall? Betsy, is that right?
Yeah.
So Austin is the exception in
Texas.
The blue
dot.
For those people who don't know, yeah, it's the blue dot and the Red Sea. Austin is a very liberal city in a very conservative state, although Texas actually may be changing. Go Beto O'Rourke. But how in Austin, this very liberal city in this very conservative state, I mean, do you see tensions between the two sides, among parents, among kids?
So I have very little to do with most of the parents, but definitely see stuff between kids and definitely see, I've had two of my students this year had parents deported.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And the kids are still
boy,
in the school?
Father and a girl, her mother.
And the kids are still in school?
Yeah, well, I was part of the educational. They had to do an educational custodianship for one of the kids.
I'm sure they're going through incredible
post-traumatic. I now know how to write educational custodian plans.
I'm sure
it's
these kids are going
skills.
Through incredible post-traumatic stress. I mean, my God, they've lost their parents. That's how old are these kids?
And then, yeah.
How old are these children?
The boy is in sixth grade. The girl's in eighth.
Okay, so 11
so
and 13.
12 and 14.
12 and 14. Yeah, that's a really, really tough time to lose a parent. That's a really, really tough time to lose a parent. That plus the taunts of racist kids. And in your view, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Betsy, in your view, Trumpism, Donald Trump being president and this Trumpism across the country is what is normalizing this racism. This is what is allowing this racism, which has always been there, to come to the surface and people to feel that they can openly be racist without consequence. I don't put words in your mouth, but is that your view?
Yes, absolutely. That's my view. And the school is more wary of having consequences than it used to be.
What would be the consequence of disciplining a kid for being racist? What could be the consequence to the school?
Well, angry parents.
Who might go to the Texas legislature, which I'm pretty sure is not.
No, they would. I mean, they'll come to the school, but.
Oh, come to school in a violent way?
Right.
I don't want to.
So I don't know that we've had anybody suspended for racist action this year. And I know for sure 2 years ago we did.
So the school is more afraid to take action against racist students for fear of angry parents.
I may be wrong. That's my feeling.
I hope you're wrong, but I certainly understand you may be right. And I really, really appreciate you calling in and sharing your experience. Thank you, Betsy.
Yeah. Can I correct you on something?
Sure, please. If I made a mistake, please correct me.
So the kids who are misplaced are mostly kids who arrived without unaccompanied.
Okay.
So when a child arrives unaccompanied, if there's a relative here who steps forward, they go with that relative. So these are not the ones.
These are not the ones that they're separating from their parents. Okay, fair enough.
Right.
It's still horrible to separate.
In incoming and asylum cases are not the same ones who are lost. The ones being lost are 11, 12, 13, 14, and many of them might safely be with a family member who's no longer comfortable sharing their phone number with Border Patrol or with whoever they're supposed to be checking in with.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. But it still shows incompetence plus cruelty, even though they're two two separate cases. I understand, two separate cases, separating kids from their parents, and then just the incompetence as well. Thanks for calling in, Betsy. I do appreciate it. Folks, if you want to join the conversation, one last segment to do it. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Is Trumpism racism and misogyny and homophobia and sexism and Muslimophobia? Oh, is it anything else? This is Mark Levine, back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. An analysis of the 2016 election shows what animated Trump voters. There's this idea that it was economic anxiety, that, you know, the white working class was worried about their future. Turns out, they've done regression analyses, and that ain't it, folks. It wasn't economic anxiety. There are people with economic anxiety that voted for Hillary, people that are voting for Donald. There are white people with economic anxiety that voted for Hillary, and some that voted for Donald. The data just didn't show that economic anxiety had anything to do with the election of Donald Trump. But they did analysis on whites who have racial resentment, who don't feel that blacks have too much influence, or who hate immigrants. And overwhelmingly, that was the determination. And whether they were a Trump voter or a Hillary Clinton voter, way beyond 95% significance. So this isn't a question. This isn't a theory. This is the reality of who voted for Trump. All you have to do is compare it to 2012, by the way. If you look at racist attitudes, I mean, Mitt Romney, Republican, white guy, Barack Obama, black guy, you would think that the racists would be going gung-ho for Mitt Romney. Turns out they didn't. Turns out people who voted for Mitt Romney were conservative Republicans, the kind of people you think would vote for him. They weren't voting for him based on racial animus. No, that's Trump voters. I think it's why we can say quite confidently that Trumpism is racism. To be fair, racism in its larger form, not just anti-black racism, but a hatred of immigrants is certainly part of it. Islamophobia, for some of them, anti-Semitism, notwithstanding Trump's son-in-law. There is some anti-Semitism. I mean, all you have to remember is the marchers at Charlottesville, or even some of the things that Roseanne was saying. And yes, misogyny. Please, let's not forget hatred of women. That's very much a part of Trumpism. And this is the president who, you know, bragged about grabbing women by their private parts, pays off a porn star, endorses a child molester for the Senate. So, yeah, when I say racism, I mean hatred in general, not just, you know, pure racism. But other than racism and its attendant forms, what's left with Trumpism? What is there? I don't know of anything else that they believe in. Let's go to Reggie, line 3 in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Happy Thursday to you too, Mark.
Happy Thursday.
I believe that Trumpism is racism because look at where it's more prevalent and relevant at. You know, you got talk radio and TV and certain entertainers and even certain athletes and actors, such as Roseanne Barr, spreading this fear, hate, bigotry, Islamophobia, homophobia, xenophobia, you know, sexism, racism, all that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you something else. Trump believes that his followers are stupid.
Yeah.
He really, really believes his followers are stupid. And I know that when I say that, people are like, no, Mark, you believe they're stupid. Well, okay, I do too. But right. When you hear Rudy Giuliani say openly on TV
right. That,
yeah, we're going to make up these lies about Spygate and all this BS because we want to influence Americans into believing this investigation is wrong, and he ridiculously says it on TV, what he's saying is we are lying to you on purpose in order to fool you into think we're not criminals.
Right.
And you got to be stupid not to hear that, not to see that. That's like the James Bond villain saying openly on TV, yeah, we're going to commit all these crimes. I don't know, unless you have some racist need to not believe what's in front of your eyes, I think... the truth is obvious. I'll give one example I've been thinking of, and I mentioned this last week. There's that YouTube sensation or tweet sensation, that audio clip that some hear Laurel and others hear Yanny.
Right.
And sometimes something... One of the things that's interesting to me about the human brain, I've been studying this, is that we are predisposed
right. To
defend our own prejudices. If we mm-hmm. see something that's prejudice, we will rationalize, we'll use logic to defend the prejudice rather than let logic, to use a terrible word, trump the prejudice. The human being is going to try because the amygdala in our brain has flight or fright, and if we're scared, we're going to mm-hmm. just try to manipulate our brain to do this. And that's why you have to work hard to hear the Yanny if you're a Laurel person and the Laurel if you're a Yanny person. It can't be done, but it takes effort. And it takes effort for someone who has believed in racism for all this long to switch modes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the mainstream media is afraid to confront and face them when it comes to things such as this because they're afraid to lose access to both him and the White House.
I think
you're
right.
And everybody else who works with him and forming that White House in between. That's why they don't ask him the toughest questions, period.
Yep. I hear you. Thanks for calling, Reggie. I appreciate that. Let me end by saying this. I don't necessarily am claiming all Republicans are Trumpists, though, again, the fact that almost 80% of Republicans don't even see Trump as being biased against black people tell you there's a large overlap between what Trumpism is and what the current Republican Party is. But let's leave it to former Speaker of the House, John Boehner, who described what's left of the Republican Party today. Let's play the clip.
But I want to talk to you about what's happened with the Republican Party. There is no Republican Party. There's a Trump Party. The Republican Party is kind of taking a nap somewhere.
You hear that? There is no Republican Party. There's only the Trump Party. I am not saying all Republicans are racist. I'm saying all Trumpists are racist. And if the Republican Party wants to stand again as the party of Lincoln, as a party that's not devoting itself to racism, it needs to denounce Trump and Trumpism. And I realize that's a heavy lift. This is Mark Levine. Talk to you on Monday.